Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 265, part 1, Self. Today is Friday, November 2nd, 2012.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. 'Cause the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing.
Tonight's tape is entitled Self. Our last messages have been dealing with self. We found out that all of our righteousnesses are but filthy rags, and that we must build on a firm foundation, the Lord. But also that we are vessels, which means we can only receive. And then the Lord goes further than that. He says, you have been foreordained to be the vessels of mercy. That means that you're filled with mercy, that you pour out only mercy on people. I said, from what I'm seeing on TV with all the battling going on, I wonder where the people have been filled. Because the Lord certainly hasn't filled them up. He only gives us mercy to give to others. And so tonight, let's go into another self-slayer. Zechariah 7, 5 and 6. And it says, speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, that's when they were on the desert, Did ye all fast unto me, even to me? And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did not ye eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? And so here is a story of a Jewish people who were completely cured of their idolatrous ways. By their 70 years of captivity, they fell into another evil, and they became superstitiously regardful of ceremonies, how they looked. But you know, they lost something. They lost the life and the spirit of devotion. And so many times, if you're listening to me on the radio, preacher, we are so careful that we'll look all right that we never say shut up or get busy or any of those kind of naughty words. Even though they may be the truth, even though we say them in our mind, we become so religious that we guard and we become hypocrites. They lost all the life and the spirit of devotion. They became legal nuts. Sick, nervous twits, if you will. They had laws for their laws and more laws. I should add a PS here. Their relatives live on. They're alive and well on planet Earth. They refuse to die, and they are called the Pharisees. And they're in the Christian church. They're all over, and they have that attitude of sort of a judging spirit all the time. Bible says they stand in the door, and they won't let anyone enter in. And so great attention was paid to ceremonies, external worship. And they had all the get-up and the gowns, the long robes and the ties, the long prayers that bored everybody half to death. Well, even yourselves, aren't you bored with someone that, you know, take two words to say something and they take 1,000 words to say it? But even their religious look, and that was the end thing, to look religious. But then the truth and the mercy and the charity and the justice were thrown away. And they became rock-throwing, self-righteous, word manipulators. You know, you can manipulate the word. Make it come out all right for yourself and slay people in the process. And so they had multiplied their ceremonies to themselves apart from God's word. They had fasts that Moses never commanded. And the Bible says they had feasts of which the tabernacle in the wilderness knew nothing of. And so now you see they opened up new areas to argue about. And every time we get into something new, it's something new to argue about. And all that did was cause new speculation. What if fantasizings? Well, what if this happened? It's sort of a Darwin syndrome. Well, what if this happened? And what if this pollen went over this way and that way and so on? And so what they did really was allow people to think for themselves outside of God's word. Like so many art critics. Now, I suppose it'd be 30 years now. When modern art started and everybody was an expert. Now everybody is an expert with the Word of God, and they say, well, what do you see in this word painting? And so they make up their own code and they make up their own rules and they make up their own regulations, and most times it leaves everybody else out. And it focuses all the attention on them. What they look like and what they say and what they think. And so, like I said, it started new, fresh arguments on mere speculative theories. What a waste of time. What a waste of time when people need help all over to argue. Vain, the Bible says, discussions. And so we must learn that when it comes to any religious ceremonies, if they're not expressly commanded of God, it is of no importance to keep them. In fact, it is better not to even mention them. That's like Christians go out and they're against people working on Sunday, and they'll go out and eat in a cafe. Should praise God for all them sinners that wait on them. And let a gas station be closed down and they run out of gas. Because by faith they were going to make it till next Tuesday on empty. You're going to see a lot of mad Christians. See, Sunday was made for man. Not man for Sunday. And so we can get into a whole lot of law keeping. I'm not saying that you have to work on Sunday. Be better if you didn't have to work, but if you do have to work, you're not going to go to hell for it, all right? And even today, there are people arguing whether a child should be sprinkled or immersed in water at baptism. You see, that makes no difference whatsoever, because you know it's not in God's Word. It doesn't say anything about infants being baptized. It says repent and be baptized. Now, a baby can't repent, but I mean, you know, if someone wanted to have their baby baptized, and it was an opportunity for me to minister the gospel, I'd get a bowl of water up here and sprinkle. Then I'd lead all of those people to the Lord Jesus, and I've done it. Then after I do that, I say, now when the baby is of age, you ask him if he'd like to be immersed in water. You teach him the Word of God. But see, that really isn't all that important. It's knowing Jesus as your personal Savior, and that's an outward show of an inward change. It's something that happens on and after. And so that it may be important, it's not all important. And so it has become an issue for many people. And I think Jesus Christ is the issue we should all keep in mind. I think a lot of times if we would seek the Lord, we wouldn't have so much to say. Would the Lord want me to say this? And then if you ask the Lord, he says, no, usually you say it anyway. Then sometimes we have to say, I'm sorry. Well, that's all right. And a fellow came to me the other day and he says, I don't know. He says, I just got so mad and so upset. And I don't know what's wrong with me. I says, well, there's nothing wrong with you. See, because you can admit that you were mean. And God accepts that. You just admit that you were. Now, you admitted it. That means you're sane. What's insane is when you try to make excuses for an action like that. Well, they made me that. Well, maybe they did make you mad. I don't know. Point being, I says, you're not sick because you recognize that you were miserable that day. How many have those days when they're just miserable? I mean, nobody wants to be around you. Just a miserable person. Well, we all have those days. But I think what's great about it is that we can admit that we're miserable sinners and we need Jesus and we need grace and we need mercy every day. And so you can keep every doctrine of your church. But you see, if it's not in God's Word, you have not done it unto God. Now, young man come up and he says, well, aren't we to keep the law? And I said, yes. Suppose there was a lake And your friend, there was, said, no swimming. And your friend swam out into the middle of the lake and he was going down. Would you break the law to go out and save him? So I said, sometimes we have to bend it a little bit. Sometimes, all times, the royal law of love overrules an absolute and God's sovereignty comes in. And so you work around that thing to do the loving thing. In vain they do worship me, the Bible says, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And I think every church then should search for the foundation of all their ceremonies in the Scriptures. Does it line up with the Scripture? Do I wait on some shelf, some purgatory, before I make it into heaven? No, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. That's it. Zip or zap. Well, pray tell, how do you make it there? By accepting Jesus. Well, will I be real holy when I make it there? Well, everything else will get burned off before you get in. You might make it in with one singed hair and smoking tennis shoes, but you'll be there because of Jesus, not on account of anything you did. But in that you did it unto me, says, or even if you have it in your heart, God will give you credit for it. Oh, if I only had $1 million. Well, if you had it in your heart and you said, if I only had $1 million, I'd feed all the poor or whatever, and God knew your heart, you'd get credit for it. See, God judges by your heart. So I think every church, like I said, should go ahead and search for the foundation of all the ceremonies that they have in their doctrine in the Scriptures. And I thought to myself, just think of the great pile of different doctrines in the many churches that could be burnt that have no scriptural basis whatsoever. Just so much wasted, printed material. If it doesn't line up with love and grace and mercy, it's another gospel. If it doesn't line up with eternal salvation, it's another gospel. Aren't you glad you are eternally saved? Aren't you glad you can't lose your salvation like a wimpy burger every other Tuesday? Aren't you glad that you didn't have to buy it, that it's already been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's the gospel? Think of all the unity we could have in Jesus Christ if we just lifted him up. Well, we wouldn't have to be afraid of someone coming up behind our pulpit here. We'd all be preaching the same Jesus. There's only one God. There's only one Jesus, I'm saying. There's only one doctrine. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. And so you could do away with all of these rituals. And so God, it says, didn't even answer their question about fasting. Because, see, it didn't really matter. I don't want to hear that. It doesn't really matter, so I'm not going to answer such an ignorant question. See, all religion must have God as its object. Or else, you know what? It's nothing before him. And so he asked him this question, which I believe would show where they were really at. When ye fasted, did ye fast unto me? Question mark. Or when you fasted on your solemn feast days, did ye not eat to yourselves and drink to yourselves? And so tonight I think we got to look at three things here. Let us see that in our religious, let's say, worship, our doing it unto God, is the main thing. If we come to church here tonight, if we sing, if we worship, if we listen, if we work, we do it as if unto the Lord. Or it doesn't mean a thing. It's just going through the motions. What do you suppose drew you people down here? Well, I believe the Spirit of God brought you in. And the more that you stay with it, the more that you'll be hooked. See, God calls people. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Doing it unto God is the main thing. Well, you don't even ask for wages. Why? There is none in the first place. Secondly, really firstly, you're doing it unto God. Did you ever notice sometimes we have people that are paid by different outfits to come in and that's always complaining and blah, 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 all is complaining. They're not doing it unto God. They're not having any fun doing it. And I think that many times is what's wrong in countries, in the world. We don't do it. You're supposed to obey your boss as you would the Lord. I mean, you know. And why is that? So you're happy in your work. And that's why there are so many that aren't happy in their work. They don't do it unto God. Secondly, that in the world our service to God must be done for His own sake, or else it is nothing. And everything that you see done down here, if it isn't for the sake of Christ, it doesn't mean a thing. Number three, we shall use our text as a test of our condition before God and ask ourselves, have we lived unto God, or whether we have lived all this time unto ourselves? The Bible says, give your life to gain it. No greater love hath a man that he would die for a friend. Give his life for a friend. It means, is giving up that one glass of wine or booze for a friend, if it makes him stumble, give that up. Or if it's a gallon that you drink, give that up. When you do it for someone else, it really isn't all that hard. And the guy told me, he says, I've been dry for 9 years. I says, that's not the only thing you've been dry of. See, alcoholics, and I came out of alcoholism. We can be dry, but we can be dry around people too. We're just mad because we have to give the booze up. I have been dry for 9 years. So what? I mean, that's good and that's fine and everything, and I would give you credit and everything. And, you know, I could say the same thing about myself for 14 years. But really, it's the river of life that filled me up. So, I mean, you know, I wasn't in a dry county. I don't have to go to some other county to get wet. My wetness is on the inside. Jesus wets my appetite. And so we have to ask ourselves, I said, have we lived unto God, or whether we have lived all this time unto ourselves? Eating unto ourselves, drinking unto ourselves, fasting unto ourselves, worshiping to ourselves. So first then, in regard to our religious worship, and I think there are various ways that the church attempts to worship God. Tonight we will discuss which ones we think are acceptable, whether it be music, whether it be joyous voices, whether it be loud shouting, whether it be ceremonies, pompous or simple, whether it be under a large dome or in a closet all by yourself. I think these matters, of course, are secondary. For you see, they concern only the carcass, the shell. And we want to deal with the soul of worship. You know, you can worship God in your work. In your washing dishes. You would be worshiping God while you're washing dishes. Did you know that? You can worship God when you're doing your work, when you're doing your music, when you're playing your music. You can worship God. Oh, not by looking like you're worshiping God. And I don't want you to get self-conscious about this. But you just pray about it and say, God, I want to sing this song, and I want to sing it unto you. And that's why the music is so great here. I really believe that. And that's why this work, and I have to give God all the glory, is so great, because it's done as it would be unto the Lord. And not with a lot of pretense and a lot of phoniness. And yes, people get upset and angry at times. That's only human. I mean, we're not in heaven yet. Some people like to think they are. They're above all of this. And if someone come up and kicked him in the face, they'd say, well, that's all right. Huh? No, that's not true. At least you'd say, don't do that again, it hurt. I don't even know if I'd be that nice, to tell you the truth about it. But we do it unto the Lord. And so I think we can all fall into the mistake and value our type of worship. And God doesn't even regard it. For instance, we may all sing in tune and harmonize superbly and not praise God at all. I remember years back, and I was trying to find God, and I went to the church. They didn't even minister Christ at all. And I just thought you had to go to church. And, you know, and so I was looking for this, and I was a big boozer, you know, and I went in there, and I thought, I'm going to stay awake if it killed me. And it almost did. Almost killed me. And I went down through there, and I felt like, gee, these people are so religious. And excuse me, I was feeling like, you know, a leftover sauerkraut, and I got through there and got my way around through these people, you know, and they were standing there and they were putting on these gowns. And they were carrying on in the old, did you hear what she said and this and that? And, you know, and I thought, man. Then they got up there and they started singing, and everybody looked like some kind of angel. I just went through that down there. They were so, they were so up into what they were saying, they didn't even know I went through there. And so I come to the conclusion that we can get up and we can sing and we can sing on tune, but we're not really doing it unto God. Or our prayers. We may pray long scriptural prayers. You ever hear someone that quotes all the scriptures and they know all the scriptures and they give you a total Bible study when they pray? And when they say grace, everything's got mold on it by the time they get done. And doesn't mean a thing. Or a prayer where, God, you know this person and how awful things they've done, and I'm not judging you, God. You know what kind of person I am. I don't judge. But, and they carry on a conversation with God, and you're in a great big circle, and you just feel like, oh, shut up, you know? God isn't hearing that prayer. Or we can preach with eloquence, sticking to our doctrine, and maybe even arguing it. Or arguing when we're going to go in the rapture. Do you believe in the rapture? Well, I said, the Bible says I'm already hidden in Christ and God. I've already been raptured out. Not so I've experienced it physically, but I'm in this world, but I'm not of it. So I said, I don't know. I'm not going to argue about rapture with you. I'm not going to say, I don't know if it's pre-rapture, midterm. I mean, you know, go all the way through. And there's another one, Pan. They'll all pan out. I really don't care. Because, see, I really don't know where I'm going to go, and so what's the sense in worrying about it and arguing about it? And they'll get into great discussions about when. They must not be having too much fun while they're here, because they're sure arguing about when they're going to go. But anyway, we may preach with eloquence, sticking to our own particular doctrine or a form of religion, denying the power thereof, the Bible says, and not even worship God. Have we heard as unto God? Have we sung as unto God? Did we pray as unto God? Well, it might not be at all. Yes, sometimes it's all for nothing. The Bible says you do it in vain. Worthless, lacking holiness unto the Lord. And what's holiness? Being honest with God. Holiness isn't the way you look. And, you know, we can almost look like little angels. It is not that at all. You just look at one of your kids. They can be the meanest kid in the block. And you go in there and they're sleeping. Isn't he a little angel? And he has tore the whole neighborhood up. If you knew everything that kid did, you'd probably lock him up yourself. And that's the way God looks at his children. Whether people like it or not. It's just being honest with God. I am mean today. Well, let me fix that. I'll put something in your path to stop you. Somebody meaner than you. And then you'll get a good look at what mean really means. No. Yes, I said it's all for nothing, all in vain, since it was not done unto the Lord. We are self-conscious and not God-conscious. See, and it's really not an offering unto God. How many come and sing with us? As little heart in their singing as they would when they're dusting. Do you ever watch some of them meetings where people, they'll sing, but you know, their heart isn't into it. And they just had a big blowout at home, and they're mad at the kids, and it takes them a half hour in a parking lot just to make up and get enough guts to come into church, see? Well, I mean, they could just be honest and say, now, we've had a blow up here. We got to get right with God before we even go into church, or we'll just bring a spirit in there with us. Do you ever notice that? A lot of times before you get, when you're getting ready for church, you get meaner than hell itself. Really, it's the truth, isn't it? Where's my bell? Where's my pants? You, huh? Yelling at every car that beeps that you're on the road. No, by the time you get to church, you feel like, man, let's go home. But see, it's all being honest with God. Or you can go in there and, hi, hi, oh, fine. And you can't cover it up. Oh, fine. How's it going? Great. How's business? Great. Couldn't be better. And then, See, God knows, doesn't he? And so why all this pretense and all this pretend isn't doing a thing, you get up and you feel like that, well, then pray over yourself. Put a chain on your arm and lock yourself in a room someplace, but don't go where their folks is. And sometimes you'll even see people offering prayer while they're picking the lint off their clothes. It doesn't mean too much. Lord, well, I wish I had some tape or a clothes brush. Lord, excuse me, It's not done unto the Lord. Doesn't mean a thing. When the sermon comes, a lot of times people leave on a mind trip. Now, I've ministered, before that we came down here, ministered to, you know, groups and went out and so on like that and evangelized and had a fairly good-sized church in the suburbs. And I can tell you, sometimes you start preaching and people go off on a mind trip. They aren't there. I mean, if you're not all here, you're not all there. Right? And they get off on a mind trip. They're not with you. They don't hear one thing you say, preacher. So don't get too puffed up with all them great big old long words. First place, they don't know what you're talking about. Second place, they aren't listening to you most times anyway. Wouldn't even notice it if you dropped dead on stage. Maybe they have to fight to stay awake. Oh, I'm going to stay awake if it kills me. Huh? You ever see somebody fall over on their side with their eyeballs wide open? Or they can eat or they can chew through the whole service. They can even sing with a great big wad of bubble gum in their mouth. They're not coming doing it for the Lord. Right in the middle of that thing, you'll see this grotesque face through a bubble. See, they have become bored with the gospel. You know why? Because it isn't real. It isn't the working gospel anymore. It isn't putting your heart and your mind and your soul and your arms and your legs into it anymore. It's just sitting. And the gospel doesn't say, it says go, gospel. Talks about moving on, going to the highways and the byways and feeding the poor. Going to the prisons. No, we have become bored with the gospel, and that's what happened. That's why people right now, you're seeing all this debate and all this argument and all this backstabbing going on, because people are not ministering the gospel and they are bored with it. And I think a lot of times you'll see people following politics, even preachers, following politics more closely, or the stock market, or their wardrobe, or somebody else's business, closer than Jesus Christ. Why lift up someone else's garbage can? Why not lift up the Lord Jesus Christ? Why try to prove how filthy someone else is? What good is it? Is it lifting up God? Is it worshiping? Turn the TV off if you see something like that happening. Who needs it? You can watch that on a horror show, late show. Or, like I said Sunday, you can go to Barnum and Bailey's three-ring circus. And all the time, their church, and they're in church, their mind and their hearts are on the time. God, what time is it? How long is this guy going to preach? Lock the doors and windows. Usually it's an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. And if they complain, 2.5 hours. That'll bring out anger in folk. No, you don't. No, I'm just kidding. But a lot of times people do have their mind on the time. Guy told me, he says, you know our church? The priest got done, he has a record. 19 minutes, we were in and out of there. I says, God, that's great. That must be a record, huh? Have you checked the Guinness Book of Records? On how fast you could worship God and get out of there and make it over to Perkins or McDonald's or something like that? Or make it home and sit there and argue with each other? No, their heart is on the time. What time is it? Will this guy ever get done? Huh? What time is it? What time is it? What time is it? One time I was ministering, I think it was up in St. Cloud. I think it was at Full Gospel Businessmen's, and I could read this woman's lips. I could just read her lips. What time is it? It was about every other 5 minutes her husband had to look at his watch. And he had to talk to her, you know. And I thought, oh, I wished I had a great big grandfather clock and I'd wheel it right up in between the seats. And I'd have every 5 minutes a cuckoo bird come out. Cuckoo! But did she come to worship the Lord? No. Was it acceptable in God's sight? No. And then if you came this way, or you're listening to me on the radio, and you turned it on, and you're listening this way, you have not come to Him. You're only pretending. Boy, that's work to pretend, isn't it? Isn't it work to be a pretender? I mean, you have to pretend. Now, sometimes you forget who you are. You pretend, we think we'd like to be like somebody else, so we pretend we're like them. And we can never really be ourselves. Huh? And so we're pretending. And it's so hard because we got all these different people. We'll pretend like we're this guy one time, and this guy one time, and this person one time, and that person one time. Boy, that's work. You forget your parts sometimes. You get all mixed up. And so it's hard when you get into pretending. Either you want to come and worship God or you don't. That's simple, isn't it? God knows anyway. See, you're just putting up with God. And how many people wander into churches and just put up with God? And if God asks him to do any kind of work, forget it. No, you are being very patient, you know, but your very vacant stare does not register in the high halls of praise. I wonder if there is a heavenly candid camera. And we'll get up there and say, you're on candid camera. And they had your face in there and you were in church and you were making these eyes like, you know what? Okay. Huh? Or this is your life? How'd you like to have this is your life? And they bring this book out and walk on stage and they say, Bill Bailey, this is your life. Aren't you glad your life is forgotten? And God doesn't remember your sin no more? You know, I said one time, and I said, now there's a lot of people think they'd be without sin. The Bible says, any man say he is without sin, he's a liar, and there's no truth in him. And I said, if we were to monitor sins by bells that went off in people's heads, no one could preach. They'd all go crazy from the ringing. Because we're sinners by nature. I mean, it's in us. I mean, there's sins that we do that are secret sins. God calls them secret sins because they're a secret from us. We don't even know we're committing them. You'd crack up. If we really got a look at ourselves and the very depths of our depravity, you know what? We wouldn't be able to stand it. I mean, Bela Lugosi would look like, Grandma. Grandma doesn't look too good either. You get her mad enough. People are going to be, they're going to have this Mother's Day this Sunday. And then they get up and they say, what I like about my mother. They never say what they didn't like about their mother. They wouldn't dare. But people are busy. And now on a Friday night, I suppose they got some kind of a TV program on it. That's why churches in the suburbs never have church on Friday night. It doesn't make any difference down here that no one comes anyway. You could have it on Youth Day, whatever day. But on the suburbs, they'll never have it on Friday night because they'll have a program on, like, Who Shot Pinhead? What was the name of that guy? Some kind of show. And everybody is sitting down waiting to see who shot this nincompoop, you know what I mean? They'd never have it on Friday night, no. That's exactly when they should have it. For people that are tempted to go out and booze, and there's drug parties, and kids get in trouble and all that, and that's why I always had them on Friday night. Whew. Are you hearing this? No, their hearts and their minds are far away from worshiping God. And with even half-hearted worship, it's some better. I said some better. The music was acceptable to them. The service was reasonable. I mean, not too many got woke up. That was good. No one was really offended at all. It only ran 3 minutes over. I'll give it a 6. They rate it from 1 to 10 on how it affected their flesh. You know, ministry is not for your flesh, it's for your spirit. The flesh doesn't usually like it. Did you know that? That's why it says you have to come in the spirit. Your flesh doesn't like it. Your flesh, it hates the word of God. It says that man in his flesh is at enmity with God. That means it hates God. Your flesh hates God. The only way you can worship God is in spirit. It says, worship me in spirit and in truth. So if you come waddling your flesh in, oh man, okay. Oh, and you're watching. Oh no. No, you gotta get in the spirit before you get into church. You gotta be prayed up when you get in there. Otherwise the preacher has to battle. Are you hearing this preacher on the radio? The preacher has to battle through all that flesh just to try to get some kind of a spark in there. The people really didn't come to worship God at all. They came for other reasons. God only knows all the reasons. See, they have never learned to tap into God themselves. You got to learn how to tap into God yourself. The preacher can't help. Okay, he doesn't hook you up like a whole bunch of milkers. He doesn't hook you up like milkers, I said. You have to learn how to tap into the milk yourself. You'll have to learn how to get to the water of the Word yourself. So when it starts to flow, your vessel is open, your container is open to receive the Word and to take that Word out of church and to give it away and to give that mercy and love and forgiveness away. Nobody else has to plug you in. You're plugged in. You just simply say, Lord, I want to feel your presence. And so blessed are they who come to God's house to use, let's say, the means, but not to rest in the means. Not to rest in the ritual. Not to get caught up in the robes and the piano and the seats and how comfortable they are. See, desiring to find the God of means in the means, I think that's beautiful. The God of means, I said, in the house of means. And when you find him in that house, it's so wonderful. Know how glorious it is when the song carries me up to the courts of heaven. How blessed when the prayer is offered up and the soul can whisper its desire into Christ's ear. And you know that he hears it. Then you have fellowship with him. How blessed to be in God's house when the Lord himself is in our midst.
There you have it. That was episode 265. That was part 1, Self. Be sure to listen to the conclusion on Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but
serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Spiritual
pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. Maybe the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.